Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The technology is called CD-ROM, and it's the new playing field where the video game giants will do battle.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and joining me as always...
Das Vidanya and konnichiwa, Tommy. It's Ben Vanel here. I haven't played any video games this week, and I don't know why I started that way. But a man, rounding out the trio, a man who is quarantining himself. We've been watching The Last of Us, which you can listen to us talk about, but this man is voluntarily quarantined.
I'm on mushrooms, and if The Last of Us has taught us anything, it's don't go outside whilst that, or you'll think it's a full-on apocalypse. I'm real sick, but video games never get ill. They just are ill, as in the cool way of saying ill.
Yep.
The way doctors hate.
Firing on all cylinders, as you can hear.
That's my engine. Blowing up, falling off a cliff. Please excuse me if I'm not fucking electric.
Analog today. Analog content from Noxy.
This is real pre-traitorous Dylan shit from me. I'm going to be talking about the working class and nothing else.
Yeah, you're operating by crank today. But we got a bunch of shit to talk about. This might be the most we've got to talk about aside from like the time we did like Game Awards and a bunch of other shit. That was a big week, but few games and a bunch of news as well. It's video game season, and we're getting out the plow. We're getting out the thresher.
I feel like when we started doing this podcast is around when they started making the beginning of the year just as full of games. Like, I remember that year, like 2016 was like The Witness and Resident Evil 7, maybe something like that. There were a few big like January, February games, and it's kind of continued ever since. And I really like it. Back from the days where all games came out September through November.
Right.
You know, not literally, but figuratively. The opposite of literally. The literal opposite.
It was holiday season, right? It was gift-giving season. It was gift-buying season. But now, like movies, they used to dump bad movies in January. But now it's like, we dump bad movies on streaming once a day, every day of the year. So it's all changed.
I've been reading a book that kind of goes into this recently about how, like, when The Matrix came out, it came out in, like, May or something, which was traditionally, like, a movie like that would have to come out at summer. And this movie just comes out at this random ass time and then goes gangbusters. And it was like one of the first times that studios went, oh, hang on, you can just drop something good whenever you want. You don't need to be beholden to
that. Star Wars was that, oh, you're putting it out in summer, you idiots.
Right.
Star Wars is going to flop like it deserves to. And then, nope. The bad guys win, and Star Wars becomes the biggest media. But I love this early deluge thing. It's cool.
Did you say it came out in May, Tommy? Because it's called The Matrix.
Oh my god!
Is that why they did it?
because also May is 1 month before summer in America, so it's like it's not that crazy.
It might not have been May. It was like in sort of like what was traditionally seen as like a dead zone. It wasn't coming out in like a hyped period. Yeah.
There's another alternate universe where that's called like October, the robots are coming, and then they put it out then.
Octobots.
Yeah.
Octobots isn't bad at all.
Yeah.
Actually, yes, it is. I'm just fucking sick.
Damn, I thought I slipped one through to the keeper.
Well, you did, and then the keeper went, whoops.
Well, speaking of, we didn't talk about this at the time, and I was actually just thinking about this morning. Mm. Speaking of things kind of coming out at weird times, the follow-up to Golf Story, Sports Story, which I was really looking forward to playing because I loved Golf Story. We never really covered this when we came back from the break, but it just kind of dropped randomly on December the 22nd, just like that day they announced that they were putting it up. Very weird time for something to come out. Didn't really get much attention, but then the people who did play it were reporting that it was super buggy, not running very well, mm-hmm. and then some people discovered this like hidden room in the game. Where did you guys read anything about this? Mm-hmm. Where it's like a thing that you can stumble across, where it's like a bunch of developers in the game working on a game where they're all kind of talking about how the working conditions are really bad and they're being forced to like rush this game out. Really, really bizarre story.
Yeah. I remember seeing something about that was, I'd seen two different interpretations of it, of like, yeah, this is them secretly crying out for help or whatever. And then another one being like, yeah. They put this in as kind of a tongue-in-cheek joke.
Right.
As like both. Obviously about a loaded issue,
mm.
which is when but you I get believe... an issue with gravy and bacon on top of it.
Yum. I believe it's been patched out since... Yeah. Right, being yes. discovered, which would maybe lean more towards the theory that it was the cry for help thing rather than the little joke. And the fact that you had to do like a very precise kind of weird set of inputs to find it. But yeah, disappointing that that people seem pretty pretty cold on it. Because I just thought it was worth bringing up because it is a weird kind of story. And also, yeah, I was kind of talking about that game for a while and it was definitely on my radar, and then everything I heard about it kind of made me go, not might give it a miss. Seems
Golf
a bit
Story
of a shame.
Was a big one for I think both of you, but I particularly remember you telling me being really into it.
Yeah.
Wasn't there
this,
also
this one seemed...
there was a game released like in September or something last year called like some other sport,
yeah.
right?
Like
Soccer Story. And it and
yeah.
all the key art looks
physical
the same,
activity
like the logo
tale.
Looks the same.
Yes, and it was like it got like sixes. It's got like 56% on Metacritic, and it was like, I guess Story is not patented, but this feels like a shitty, you know, like a shovelware, like a you know,
yeah.
the last fantastical. You know, JRPG 7, you know, like just a rip-off of of a title and chucking it up on there to fool grandmas and young children, right? Like
all those types of like mobile games called like Fast Car Thief and
yes.
whatever.
Mm. Yes.
Or Crime Boss Roque City.
Oh, yeah, there was gameplay footage of that. And
was
it's
it
like,
really?
It's like, yeah, it's like Payday.
Yeah, right, that makes sense.
Like, it looked, I don't know, people were like, this looks shit, but I was like, it looks like every sort of, like, team-based online shooter, you know, where you go around doing objectives to me.
Mm.
Just that, now that you reminded me, Knox. But I also thought that, yeah, Soccer Story coming out sort of diluted any general interest around Sports Story. It really was like, oh, it feels like this game already came out, and it was bad.
Well, it was sitting on the eShop for ages with just the listing of the release date as just December with no actual date.
Right.
And I was like, when's this game coming out? And then I was wondering, like, is it just because Soccer Story had come out and was really shitty and they were like, well, we're just going to get... people are just going to mistake it for this anyway, like...
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd love to know what the story was, and then all of a sudden just dropping it on December the 22nd. Like, I mean, as much as we're saying stuff can just come out whenever, I truly think that, like, December the 22nd is the exception to that idea.
Even 4 days later, that's when the Lord of the Rings movies came out. I remember Boxing Day being the big Lord of the Rings day for my family.
Oh, and, like, you know, kids might be getting...
And many others.
Switches for Christmas, like, day after Christmas, perfect time to release a game. But yeah, the exact day when everyone is traveling to some place to spend their holidays is the worst time to release a game.
Well, those kids with those new Christmas Switches are going to have more to play from a little company called Microsoft.
a little company. It sounds like you sound like one of the people representing them in the antitrust.
Just a little baby company who never did nothing to nobody.
Just a little upstart bunch of, you know, passionate gamer fans who want to make something of themselves and $1 billion.
Yeah, we don't know what we do. We called our things that type words, word. We're stupid and dumb, and please let us buy Activision for the most money imaginable.
Yep, so that's had another little wrinkle in it in the past 12 hours.
Yeah, Brad Smith tweeted out, I guess this was like the form that the announcement took was this tweet. Mm-hmm. He's from Microsoft, he's not just some guy. Well, he is just some guy who works at Microsoft.
And Brad Smith is such a some guy fucking name.
Yeah, and he, to the point where even the Brad Smith who holds a very high... What is his exact job title at Microsoft? Something high up. He on Twitter has to be Brad Smith, which is, I thought... He's the vice chair and president.
He's the president,
of Microsoft.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll read this out. It's got the Microsoft and Nintendo logos down the bottom. Microsoft and Nintendo have now negotiated and signed a binding 10-year legal agreement to bring Call of Duty to Nintendo players the same day as Xbox, with full features and content parity, so they can experience Call of Duty just as Xbox and PlayStation gamers
keep
enjoy Call of Duty.
My PlayStation's name out of your mouth. How dare you?
We are committed to providing long-term equal access to Call of Duty to other gaming platforms, bringing more choice to more players and more competition to the gaming market. So, and the actual, that's like one of the pictures in the tweet that says a longer thing. The thing above says, we've now signed a binding 10-year contract to bring Xbox games to Nintendo's gamers. This is just part of our commitment to bring Xbox games and Activision titles like Call of Duty to more players on more platforms. Obviously, a thing that they've said they want to do for years, and have their games everywhere. Like Phil Spencer in particular has been out there saying, like, I love to put my... I love to spread my seed, is I believe the way that he says it.
Yeah. He likes to sow his wild oats, I think.
But
And he's got so many children all around the world as well, because he loves to fuck without any protection.
As well.
Yeah.
They should bring that up in the court thing. Be like, I need this money.
Yeah.
So he like has always been pushing, and Xbox has always been pushing that thing of, we just want to get our games in front of as many people as possible. But them doing this right now in this way with Nintendo, who they're closer with than Sony, they've had Minecraft on the Switch already and stuff like that. They are clearly, this is a, look, we mean it. This, you don't need to worry about antitrust stuff. Call of Duty will be everywhere. We're not keeping it all in the walled garden. Because that decision in the EU is in April. They're in Brussels.
Yeah, wow.
Determining whether they can do that Activision takeover at all. So this is, you know, smart, and 10 years of contractual obligation to it seems like a long time. But when that 10 years is up and Call of Duty is still massive, and then they go, now it's just on Xbox, potentially.
Yep.
Then you're still in the same situation, I'm sure Sony is trying to argue.
And I guess it's like the Nintendo Switch is not at parity with the Xbox consoles or the PlayStations, you know? Like, it is a completely different experience. Yeah, it's like great for handheld gaming if you're specifically wanting to play a Call of Duty, you know, on the bus or at the back of your classroom or whatever, but it is not the same experience as playing it on a PlayStation, and that is what they're trying to stop. They're trying to get away with stopping that from being the case.
I wonder if it would, their plan would be to have a streaming thing like with Resident Evil and stuff like that that's been on the Switch, or, I mean, they've done a whole bunch of pared down Call of Duty ports in the past. But yeah, that thing of like same day and date and the exact same experience is like, how? Do you know some secret about the Switch no one else does? Why are you doing that?
Yeah.
That's great to imagine the developers just being blindsided by this press release and then just like having this workload dropped on them. Like, we promise that day and date you will have the same Call of Duty on the Switch, and them just going, we don't want to do, we can't do that.
Yeah.
Unless there's a new Switch coming.
Oh my God.
You heard it here first.
5.5 years ago.
So I think it's like, it's a, If you're, like I think I said like last week, there are certain experiences or games that are great for people who only own a Nintendo Switch, right? Like there are features and price points and stuff that are like awesome. I get to have, I think maybe we're talking about the new online pass expansion game accessy stuff that, that they did recently with the Game Boy stuff. I think it's like the headline of this is like, yeah, Microsoft makes another shrewd manipulative move in court case.
Right.
Yeah.
And like, it's also shrewd for them to put their games in as many places as possible, right? Mm. Because they sell them. It's like a similar thing with, so I didn't end up making the insane decision to buy a PSVR right away. Mm-hmm. Not that it's insane. I wish I was doing it, but I got a wisdom tooth that needs dealing with. But when that's out, if there was a fucking dentist simulator day one and ooh, I could then maybe do that, play it in mirror mode so I can do it on myself in front of the mirror.
Yes.
Yep.
Then things might have gone differently.
You could Twitch stream it. You could do Twitch does dentistry. That'd be sick.
I wonder if live surgery is against their terms of service.
Oh, yeah.
But that one of the things with that that, you know, isn't necessarily technically a walk in the park is that if that was a PC headset at the same time as being a PlayStation 1, I would have bought it.
Right.
Because, but PlayStation values their walled garden in a way that Microsoft seems to not value, but be aware that there's money to be made in other places. So like they do genuinely seem much more open to putting their stuff all over the place, at least at the moment.
I mean, it's sort of the same with their approach to Game Pass. They want people to subscribe to that service. They're not too fussed about whether or not they have people buying the Xboxes. Like they've got that smart TV app that you can do your cloud gaming on. Like they are way more forward thinking about like just have the games wherever people can get them, and that's what that's what we're going to get people on.
It does mean that Xbox Series sales, as kind of I think we all probably intuited, are going down a lot quicker than PS5 sales.
Right.
Because if you've got a decent PC, you can play those games. If you've got one of those streaming things, you can play a lot of those games. Like, if the hardware, if you also are an enormous company that manufactures a whole ton of hardware already and it's relatively easy for you to scale up or down that production. Anyway, it's all very, very complicated and I'm glad I'm not in Brussels.
I don't know. It looks like a nice city. Just as a side fact, talking about sort of your declining sales of Xbox hardware and game stuff in general, I saw a little graph today. And I'm looking at it again right now.
Whoa, double graph day.
It's double graph day.
Get a load of the graph of the number of times Ben has seen a graph today.
He's gone back for another look.
It's a bar up to two.
this segment brought to you by Tom Cashman. It's a graph of the physical game sales for PlayStation over the past 4 years. So back to the start of 2019. And the third quarter of 2022 was the highest it has been in that entire time. Like compared to third quarter 2019, it's like almost double. So
right.
PlayStation and Sony in general's approach when it comes to their specific hardware, their walled garden, their exclusives, you know, that's the key thing to this. They're going gangbusters. They're going up and up. They kind of, had a dip, obviously, in the middle of COVID. But, this approach, which is the traditional approach, right, it's still kind of going okay.
Even more of a focus for Sony than it even used to be because, like, I think Sony and Nintendo are pretty much level in people's perception of them as the place where there are exclusive games they want to play.
Yep.
You know,
yeah.
It's always been Nintendo's thing, but also without any third-party stuff.
Mm.
If, not any, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So, it's all of them are controlling, obviously, because they're big businesses and businesses are innately evil because nobody has any actual responsibility in them. So it just turns into a monster. But like,
that's right.
they are businesses be lying. That's me. I don't know if it's the codgel talking.
Wow, it's unlocked his ability to speak like the great departed. Fucking
yeah, Carlin's back.
Yeah, no, not Carlin. What was the other guy that everyone? Bill Hicks.
Oh, sure.
You're doing Bill Hicks. You got a black T-shirt
dead,
on.
But Carlin's back.
Is that why you're sick today? Is because today was the day you were going to pick up the PSVR2, and your body is like just has just gone into. It's just gone into decline because you didn't go through with an outrageous purchase.
It honestly might be just a physical outpouring of grief.
Yeah. Which we should say, we were talking a bit about this in the lead up, but the reviews are out. People are pretty positive on the tech. Apparently it looks great. It's very impressive once you got the thing on. It doesn't seem like Horizon Call of the Mountain just based on the reviews that are out there. It's fine, but it doesn't seem like it's the absolute home run that you would need that game to be if it's the only kind of truly exclusive thing for it. It seems like they were really betting big on that being a bit more of a home run than it is. People seem to like it enough. I saw this showed up in my feed. There's a I sent it to you guys. It's like a PSVR2 fan group on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a post from the moderators going, this is like yesterday going, yeah, I've already deleted a couple of posts here. And guys, let's just try and remember that this is a fan group for people of the VR2 and we don't need any of the negative posts in here. So it's like even it's dissent even within a a designated fan group for this thing. People are already turning on it in there, which I found funny.
To be fair, that isn't necessarily a feature of the PSVR2 so much as if you make a group about almost anything on the internet, the
True.
Fourth post is like very disappointed to see what some members of this group think is appropriate to post when it's like,
that's true.
Trolley put a Baccarat near Kmart. Hooray. Like any internet group will immediately eat itself.
Yeah,
for sure.
Except our fan group.
Yeah.
That's the one I haven't seen it happen yet. But we've been in the position where we're seeing those messages that we're deleting as quick as we can if we need
That's
to.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a shame. I there's so much stuff about it. Like, technically it looks cool. I really, when I was thinking of a world where I had one on my face right now, the theater mode 2D play your normal games with like a good OLED screen at 120 hertz type stuff, that was appealing and apparently works very well, and like those screens are crisps and everything. So it's a shame, but we'll all end up with them one day, possibly, if there's good games come out for them and they get cheaper. But
it just seems like a crazy move. It's a big ask anyway. Sorry.
Well, right now there's some shit that I might have eventually bought on my own anyway if it weren't for the fact that the company Elgato, who we've talked about before has sent us all out some stuff to review. And yeah, to be clear, Elgato sent us this.
Yes.
Doesn't affect the way we talk about them. If I want to talk shit, bitch, you can't stop me. That's why you want to send me this stuff, because I'm the dangerous podcaster.
That's right. We live on the edge and people know that we speak the truth.
Anyway, I quite like this stuff.
Yeah, it was a funny email to get through because I didn't certainly reply it in good faith and very happy to get this stuff. But like, yeah, I think the Elgato rep was like, would you like to try out these new releases in the line of, microphones and microphone arms? To talk about on the show. And I replied and was like, yeah, absolutely. And I was said, like, we already use your stuff. We've already bought a bunch of it and we like it. We'll review it on the show. I guess we'll provide a journalist. It's like, yeah, but I was going to say I liked it anyway when I bought it. So, sucked in and gave it to us for free.
This has happened. This isn't the first time this has happened. This happened again to us today where we got a message from a kind listener offering to give us something for free that we we already have paid for. That's the only kind of cash for comment stuff we get on this show is stuff that we've already invested our own money into. But it's the only way to keep yourself completely free of any kind of
integrity. To make it extremely clear, because people are often dumb as shit, we don't get paid. This stuff is sent to review, and we are going to be honest about it all of the time.
Yeah. I see a lot of people on Twitch who half of their content is them reviewing stuff and not disclosing that they got it, you know, for free from a company that also pays their yearly salary. So I am very happy to, be very upfront and be like, they asked if we asked us if we wanted to talk about it on the show. They sent it to us for free. And but there's no, that's how we got it. So we're going to talk about it honestly.
I've also gotten, I've gotten an STI for free before. And I dealt with it, but I don't have good things to say. I wouldn't recommend chlamydia.
Okay. Wow.
So you keep in mind, chlamydia. if you ever see anyone...
I'm sick for a different reason now.
Sure.
If you ever see anyone being like, I love chlamydia, you know that they're in the pocket of Big Chlamydia, and that's the only reason they've given the glowing review.
That's right.
Yeah, they're getting paid by Big Clap.
The
things we're talking about, so like the new part of it, or the newish part, like some of it has been out for a year or more, but there's a microphone called the Wave DX, and that was sent to us as part of a set with the Wave XLR thing, which is an interface for an XLR microphone, which is a type of connector, if you don't know, that switches it. It's an analog audio format that then translates it to digital to plug into a USB port of your computer.
Yeah.
And we each got a microphone arm thing to talk about. There are two variants, a low profile one, which sits like just above where a keyboard would end. It's maybe, I don't know, 8 centimeters off of the desk or something like that, and swings out.
To sort of go under your screen, essentially, right? The mic, the microphone, like, points up. The arm is underneath what's visible on screen.
Yeah. And then the other one is just a regular one.
I got the big old one just because I like my desk space. And it's, it's like just a big classic mic arm that fucking goes out a long ass way. Like, I'm kind of leaning back. Now I'm not sort of near my desk, and
Ben's been doing this whole thing like he's in an 80s movie where he's gotten detention. He's been chewing up and spitting spitballs, feet
That's
are
right.
on the desk.
Yes. My beautiful desk is now covered in shit because of my dirty shoes. But it's good. It took me a while to figure out that you can take off the top strip, the strip of rubber. And then you put your cable through it like that, and you cover the cable up with a little rubber strip thing, which is very sick. I just had the cable dangling free for a while.
They do send you instructions with that, so you aren't forced to figure it out.
No, I looked at the instructions, and I couldn't tell what it meant. Well, actually, I couldn't find where they referenced them for a little bit. And it's 2 pages, so again, maybe this is on me. But I like it. I've been considering buying one of these already because of the times that we do have to record remotely like this, or say when a giant pandemic hits the entire world. I always wanted one, and they were kind of hard to get. A lot of them sold out through like places like Amazon and shit, so I kind of had to wait, a couple of years. But I like this one a lot. We'll see how it goes. We'll see how it stands up to repeated use.
Yeah,
so far,
like,
so good.
These types of products in particular, like audio interfaces and like XLR microphones and stuff, there's so many competitors, and there's lots of them that are great. Like, the thing we've used for ages is an H6 Zoom. Zoom is the name of the company, nothing to do with the
The video conferencing.
Online call thing.
Yeah.
It's an audio company. They make a bunch of them called the H and then a number, and it relates to the different inputs and whatever. But those also work as an audio face. I've used that before, and to be fair, the first time I did that, it fucked up my voice and I was talking like a Darth Vader for the whole time because the sample rate was wrong.
Yeah.
So it wasn't exactly plug and play. But those and, like, Shure SM58 microphones are the thing that we're recording this on that you're hearing our voice on other than Ben's now.
Yeah, my voice is coming through on this microphone we're talking about. It's like the Wave DX, I think 3, right? There's been a bunch of them. I think
so
it might
The 3 is the USB microphone. This is different because it's an XLR. That's the DX thing.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So those Wave ones are USB compression mics, I think, and this is a fuck me if I don't get all these terms jumbled up, but like I think a dynamic microphone, just the different types of technology it's using to register input, but it's really good quality. I did a few practice records and stuff like that, even though I'm not recording into it now. I'm using it for the call that we're doing.
Right.
And that XLR unit audio interface thing is also a great option for that. I mean, again, there's a lot of options for that, but this the thing that I've liked about the Elgato stuff I've bought in the past is how simple and plug and play and painless it is.
Yes.
And these are 100% those with like reliable quality that is kind of pretty idiot proof to use. Like it can be complicated stuff, a lot of this thing.
Yeah. Like I was in JB Hi-Fi the other day, and they have, you know, in the gaming section, I think at the in the gaming section, like a little stand or a little like whole shelf section of like, yeah, streamer stuff. And there is a bunch of it that's like, I guess unless you know, it looks as appealing as everything else, but you're like, that's a fucking made up brand. That looks like a cheap piece of shit. And Elgato is always the one where you're like, oh yeah, that's the you know, that's the high quality one, that's the bankable one. It's kind of like, it's similar to Apple Knox in the sort of plug and play, idiot proof. And the nice design of it. It's not something I'm ashamed to have on my desk.
No, and that's often the comparison people make. They say it's like streaming Apple.
Oh, okay. I genuinely thought I had thought of that then.
You've got a lot of extremely boring YouTube videos to watch before you catch up to the streaming equipment discussion space. I just realized as well that the fact that I'm saying the reason I'm attracted to them is because they're idiot proof is me saying I, as an idiot, need these.
Yeah. You've got your bottom, your low bar has been cleared.
Yeah.
I used mine to do some, a little bit of voiceover work for my comedy festival show that people can come and see in Melbourne, and it's also in Adelaide next week. And so you can judge the quality in that show for yourself. And also, speaking of live comedy performances.
Well, just quickly, there's a bit more about this. Don't you fucking rush me, Tommy.
Oh my God.
I thought he might have just been doing a plug inside a plug and we would have got back to the Elgato stuff.
No, that's so dangerous. Putting a plug inside, you can only have one if it's drawing this much power on a power strip.
I guess if you die inside the second plug, you die in the outside plug too.
Yeah. Right. Unless it's April, in which case you're fine. It hasn't come out yet. I just wanted to say that the my favorite thing about these audio things from Elgato in particular is the Wavelink software that they've got that is like, you can't use it without having an Elgato thing plugged in, which I'm not sure if there is a hardware reason for that or if that is just to create the reason for you to have to buy an Elgato piece of hardware. It does interact with other stuff once you've got it going. But that shit's great. If you're streaming or recording videos or whatever on Windows and anywhere, it is fucking annoying to separate different audio sources from one another, to have one coming through to your ears and then a different going to the recording or the stream or whatever.
Yeah.
This Wavelink software, and I've tried to use others like fucking VoiceMeter, Banana, and those sorts of things that are named by lunatics. The Elgato Wavelink software is real simple, and I really, really like that as a audio routing software on your PC. That shit's great. And comes with, this Wave XLR thing, which is, to be clear, an XLR interface you can use any mic with, or if you get one of the USB mics, that activates that too.
Yeah, right. We've both had capture cards that are Elgato for years. Like all of the stuff that we capture, like that is not on Windows, where we tend to use OBS, but like all that console stuff is Elgato. So yeah. And like, as we said, we'll be honest. And if any of this breaks in the next 3 months, you'll find out about it.
Well, you'll hear about it. I don't think, I think the prices are fine, but like, especially for the microphone, I don't think there's anything that necessarily sets, other than having it look nice with your like same stuff, sets it apart from using like a stage microphone like we often do.
Yes.
So that as an individual sort of product, I think, is equal with its competitors, but I don't think is necessarily like far and away better, like that Wavelink software is, or like the XLR interface as well is decent. Only has one input. Good big knob on the front to do levels and stuff quickly.
Yeah,
and split between your headphones.
It's a push button knob where you can switch from the mic volume to your headphone output volume to some other third thing.
Like the mix between those two headphones.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Is what that third one is. And it does give you like phantom power for your things. Yeah. Also, just the mic arm is rugged and it's high quality. And I've replaced a Rode PSA-1 with this. And that Rode mic arm is like the big one that people tend to use.
Right, right.
And I think I prefer the build quality of this and always found that one just a little bit awkward and springy and irritating.
Yeah, this does feel like if you go, all right, I've got the money to shell out on this and I want to do it for real, this is the best that I could imagine a mic arm being, which is not to say I'm coming my dacks over it, but I'm just saying like, great, there's nothing bad about this that draws back in any way from the potential money I would have outlaid on it. You know, it's like, yeah it's fucking solid.
Mm.
I do think that I've always wanted from mic arms a little bit more of that thing that everyone seems to be able to do in Frasier, any show about a radio show, they're just moving the mic arm around like it's suspended in weightlessness. And the low profile one, at least, you know, it needs to be tightened up on its joints and you can't really adjust it just thoughtlessly. You've got to pay attention to what you're doing.
This
also,
big
the
one,
magnetic clip things kind of come off with the XLR cable going through.
Yeah, mine hasn't done that. Maybe I shoved them in too hard. But this one, the high profile one, because it is literally, it's like a desk chair, you know, you slot it into the base and you don't screw it in. It's just the weight of the thing that's holding it down. So this swivels like a motherfucker, which I like as well. That is reminiscent of the Frasier, aka
that's like
anyone who works in radio.
That's like me. I'm just being kept down with my weight and I can swivel like I want. Never attached. Never held down. Don't try to. I'm a free bird. If you like Free Bird, you might have yelled that out live at a concert. And if you feel like going to a live concert, but music's not your thing, you prefer live podcast concerts.
Mm.
Tommy, I think you were bringing something up before that I made you shut the fuck up about.
Something that does bring money into our pockets.
Yeah.
Yeah, to be clear, we get paid for the stuff we do live.
We got our live show coming up Sunday, April the 2nd.
Yes.
At 3:40 p.m.
How did you remember that? 3:40 p.m.
I don't know. I don't know. At Comedy Republic in Melbourne. Tickets are on sale now through their website, comedyrepublic.com.au, I believe. I
think so.
You can get your tickets there, and there's also a streaming option if you are in other parts of the world. Tune in. Tune in wherever in the world you are. I believe you'll have access for a little bit if you can't watch it directly live.
I think last time it was up there like on demand for 24 hours, so I assume it will be the same thing.
I think last time, we asked, we made sure that would be available. And if you did check last week for streaming tickets and they weren't there, they are there now. So if you're an international, it's like early morning in America, late night in the UK, or vice versa.
I think it's, like 9:40 p.m. the day before. So it'll be your Friday night, like Pacific time, US.
Right.
So probably early morning in the UK.
Sure. But yes, it will also be available for another day or so if you can't make that specific time.
And if you don't want to stream it, well, I mean, if you're nearby is what I mean. If you please want to stream it. But if you're nearby, we'd love to see you come down. It's great to have people there.
Yes.
And it's really fun, like chatting to people for a bit afterwards and all that sort of stuff. Yep. So please do come down if you're around April 2nd at 3:40 p.m.
Yeah, it would be great. I think it's the only thing Knox and I are doing live during the festival, during the Melbourne Comedy Festival. Unless there's a secret gig that you haven't told us about, Knox.
During that span of time, not that this is necessarily,
Or, and unless I've forgotten something that I've agreed to do, that'll be the time to come and see Knox and I during the festival. So, 3:40 p.m., April 2nd, comedyrepublic.com.au. We'd love to see you there.
Yeah.
I sure Guys, would. I don't want to speak for anybody other than me, but I sure would.
Well, I already said that I said we would, I guess, so. And I include myself in that happily. Tommy, you're the only one.
You know what? Lump me in there. Chalk up another one. You know what? While we're here, while we're talking about this sort of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know who else you could go see live? Someone with clean, shaven pubes. I'm sure there are many options for locations in your area where you can see live nudes.
And yeah. I mean, if you're not seeing them, if you're not seeing the lack of pubes, if you're just seeing a person who has taken care of them, perhaps using a product we might just very soon talk about, come to our live show.
Yeah. If I were ever going to be a live nude, the only way I'd trust my genitals to stay smooth is with Manscaped.
Mm.
They are still supporting the show and we're still supporting them because they're still making good products. Manscaped. This one is an ad. Different
yeah, this
to the
is
one
an
before.
Ad.
This is a literal ad.
Yeah,
but
this is free product and we're also getting paid to talk about it. But
right.
Our thoughts still remain genuine that it is a great product that we all legitimately do use.
If something I hated paid to advertise on this, I'm sure you'd be able to tell. I genuinely don't think I'd be able to hide it well enough for that to be an ongoing relationship at the very least.
I mean, but I don't think that we would do an ad for something that one of us hated.
I doubt it.
We simply wouldn't agree.
Happy to have it come up. We'd love to get the offer.
Yeah.
Just to see what we could possibly get through the inbox.
Have
that debate. Manscaped are here. They make good stuff. They're personal grooming products. They make a whole bunch of things. The Lawnmower 4.0 is their like flagship electric razor, and it works great. It's the best one I've ever used, and all their other products do exactly the thing they're meant to as well. Their ear and nose hair trimmer. It's good.
It's spring. Oh, it's about to be spring. Is it still February? only just. It's about to be spring in the Northern Hemisphere. Do a bit of spring cleaning. And, boys, it's come around again. It happened last year. It happened the year before. It's happening this year. It's fresh ball fall. It's back.
Oh.
That beautiful copy.
God.
Oh, for us. Yes. I got so confused because I was already thinking, like, cut your pubes off, throw them outside, let a bird build a nest out of them.
Mm.
But those birds have grown up and flown the coop, so this is just chuck your pubes in some leaf matter.
Exactly.
On the ground.
Yeah, shed your excess leafage. There's no word for shaving that starts with F, is there? I wanted to do an alliterative thing with foliage.
Flopping off. Your hair.
Fry that foliage, but you don't fry it, you shave it.
No, and the thing doesn't get that hot.
No, it doesn't get hot at all, and it's fully waterproof. But yeah, we've been using their products for a few years now, there's been no need for me to jump on the podcast and say this thing broke, because none of it has broken. It's been really, like, you know, I used one for a beard trimmer. I use that every day. I think I heard that they're releasing a beard trimmer or a facial grooming product via an
now
ad
we're talking.
On another podcast. So maybe it's not out.
Fucking traitor.
Okay.
Well, I stuck with the client at least. But yeah, fantastic products. The lawnmower is great. The ear and nose hair trim is awesome. And you can get all of their shit at manscaped.com. And wait a minute. I just remembered something. This ad copy in front of me jogged my memory. I think that you can get 20% off and free shipping if you use the code FILTHY.
You're goddamn right.
Okay.
That's 100% true. Use the code FILTHY and you get 20% off and free shipping.
Fuck yeah.
And that same word, FILTHY, if you go to nordvpn.com/filthy, you get a big fucking deal on Nord stuff, which can I tell you, I did yesterday.
Whoa.
I wanted to watch a video that wasn't available in my location on a service that is available in my location.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd think that the two should meet, but never the twain.
Yeah.
Unless, NordVPN. So they've got at least one customer from us. NordVPN.com/filthy is where I went because, it's just like the easiest to use VPN that I've ever used. It's reliable.
Cheap deal, right?
It's not bad.
Yeah.
I'd rather them send us some shit for free too, but hey, You can't, there's no such thing as a free lunch. And that's what I did. I ate this computer that I was running NordVPN on. And now I'm in France. That's why. Anyway, I, actually recommend it. And again, an ad, but NordVPN.com/filthy is where you can go to get a good deal. Bunch of free months.
Yeah.
And a discount. And it just is the simplest, easiest cross device one that I've interacted with in my life.
Three
and I've lived a long life.
Three idiot proof things in a row, I reckon. That Elgato stuff, the Manscaped, you can't even, well, I won't say you can't cut yourself if you try, but you probably, it's very safe. And NordVPN.
Which again, not to lump them all in, because the Elgato stuff wasn't an ad.
Yeah.
Yeah. The live show was not idiot. The live show, not idiot proof at all. You could very easily purchase a streaming ticket by accident and turn up at the door and try and get in with that. So we can't in good conscience say that the live show ad was idiot proof. But 3 out of 4 ain't bad.
The live show will be proof that we're idiots. So in that way, it will be idiot proof.
I don't understand what you mean. Case closed, Your Honor. Because I'm going home because I forgot to wear my pants today because I'm a dumb lawyer. That felt like a long stretch of us talking about shit like that. But yeah, the Elgato stuff is genuinely just like something I recommend if with like streaming and mics and all that sort of stuff. It all plays into games.
But yeah.
Yes.
I want to point out again that's separate. I think we don't make mention of this often enough.
Yeah.
99% of the games that we talk about on here, we all buy ourselves.
We buy ourselves or we've got on streaming services that we've been paying for. I reckon we get maybe two free games a year.
We tend to mention it when we get that code too, and it never influences opinions and stuff. I don't know why this is the moment where I'm like, yeah, we better make sure everyone knows this. Maybe because I feel like I'm dying and I want to leave behind a legacy. But the ones that
we get one code for most of the first party Nintendo games,
right?
And then the rest of us, if you hear us all talk about it, the other two have paid for it.
Yes,
and virtually and anything else, we're fucking coughing up the change for, which, thank you for being on Patreon and allowing us to do that.
Yeah.
As we did this week, well, I didn't do it with this because it was on Game Pass, but I played a bit of Atomic Heart.
Me too.
Atomic Heart it's been around for a fair while, it feels like, getting the preview cycle and everything. And I had a very different impression, I think, of what this game was during that preview cycle than how I feel about it now that I've played it.
Interesting. May 2018 was the very first time they dropped the trailer.
Yeah, goddamn.
A little bit before E3 that year. Probably one of those other similar events. I can't remember.
It's a lot less stalkery than, I guess, that initial thing, which maybe I thought just because it looked like it was a nuclear thing, but it's nothing to do with nukes, really. It's all robots.
It's robots. It's alternate vision of the 1950s Soviet Union. It's not Russia either. It is the Soviet Union at an imaginary height of its power.
In 1955.
Yes.
And this is like the phrase that keeps going through my head that I'm sure is appearing in other reviews and stuff as well, is the Apple of streaming equipment. Sorry, fucking coughing right in the middle of that. It's like we've got BioShock at home is the not particularly kind sounding way, but like sort of the way I feel about this game, that is like a great art style and like a really interesting sci-fi setting that's getting expanded upon with interesting, you know, backstory recording bits and pieces you're finding around the world and like a decent story in the background there. Really great music that I'm loving that I only found out after starting playing it. Mick Gordon from the Doom games is responsible for.
Yeah, not all of it though, right? Because there is orchestral stuff. There is more like sci-fi, like 1950s sci-fi-esque sort of electro-poppy music in there as well. Some atmospheric stuff. And there's like soundtrack, like there's Needle Drop, stuff as well. You know, there are traditional Russian songs and stuff.
So I'm like classical bits and pieces.
Yeah. So I don't actually know specifically which of it he did, but it's all good. It all fits the tone that it is going for, which is ultimately like a clear satire of nationalistic, you know, the Soviet Union, or 50s sci-fi. Kind of.
Yeah, that kind of like, we're going to space in 60 minutes. Like, we're almost everywhere in the solar system.
Yep.
Everything's about to kick off because they do have, like, really high-functioning robots that are AI robots, and they go haywire early on. And that's
your
pool of enemies is all these different... in a similar way to something like a Bioshock, where it's like, you know, they were obviously originally designed to look like friendly butlers, but now they look like angry butlers because they're... these robots coming at you. So it's that sort of, I don't know if dystopia is the right word, but like nice place gone wrong.
Mm. Well, I mean, it is like, that's what Bioshock was, right? Bioshock was just, the original one was set a fair bit after things went haywire. So it looked more dystopian. This is a utopia that appears to be, and I've played like, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 hours of it. Like, I've had a couple of really good sessions with it. I only started playing yesterday and had to re-download it or update it, you know, a bunch of times because I don't know why. But several 70 gig downloads. It is more the utopia that whose surface looks bright and shiny but is very much crumbling away in the heart of it. It is being eaten away by, you know, selfishness and corruption and the misuse of these technologies. It's a bit of playing God sort of stuff, which always backfires in these stories.
And it's funny that I'm finding that stuff interesting for the most part, and then there's like this weird 20% of it that I fucking hate. That like it, because most of the writing I'm finding genuinely like that era, like Asimov style sci-fi.
Mm.
Super interesting, and I like the way it's written. I like the way it's presented. It's still doing the like, they're these like little fob watches that are recordings, or you can like hear dead people's thoughts through their brain computer and things like that. Like, it's telling it in the, basically here's a recording with some background flavor stuff, but all of that stuff I'm liking.
Mm.
And then there's like moments of it that are just the most fucking juvenile bullshit that I fucking, it's like Duke Nukem level, but like without any, as without the same sense of self-awareness that even something like that had, that's taking me out of that every now and again.
Right.
The main character in particular is just like, in the English voice acting as well, I think part of it is the tone of the acting as well.
Mm.
He's this dumbass like, yeah, fuck politics. I'm here to shoot ass and kick ass. Fuck you. Fuck you as well, and fuck you and fuck you.
I have to assume, because you mentioned that before I played, I think, as much of it as you had, Nox. And so then I went in, literally you said it, and I said, oh, I've said it to Russian, which was, I was saying that as I was doing it, as I hit a new game. So I hadn't played it. And I went in, yes, so I'm playing it with Russian language English subtitles. It can't not be a parody. Like, the game has such a level of self-awareness about the society that it is casting, you know, the mirror up to, that it is, you know, parodying. It has such a level of cleverness in the way it's using sci-fi ideas. Like, this guy is like... It's like BJ Blazkowicz, but he's like had brain damage. Like, he's,
and it's
just
like
so
way
dumb.
More on the nose. It's blowjob Blazkowicz. Like,
yes.
So you just can't miss it. And I agree that it's like meant to be parody, but it's just not working at all for me because it's like, so it feels like 13-year-old who loves South Park having a go at parody. Those portions of it.
Right.
And it's weirdly segmented.
Yeah.
Like the fucking horny fridge robot thing too is a similar thing where I'm like, I get what you're trying to do, but I don't like it. So it's just those bits, and it's unfortunate because it's like, as I'm sort of sinking into it when they haven't talked for that long, I'm like, oh damn, that's an interesting idea, or that's a cool wrinkle, or that's a fun little bit of flavor or whatever in this like horrific world and whatever, to be clear.
Right, but
like,
yeah.
And then, yeah, it just, it fucking is like, it just switches over every now and again to cunt mode and takes me out of it. But most of the presentation stuff is good, which is why it's so noticeable partly too.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, maybe I'm giving it too much credit, but it feels to me of like a really obvious, like, this kind of person sucks. You're like, there are no heroes in this world, you know? Like, imagine thinking this guy is cool or a hero. He's a fucking killer, you know? Like, he's a soldier in a regime that is bad. And look at how that regime is crumbling in front of you and how paper thin, you know, it all was. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I am just giving it too much credit. I don't know.
I think it's somewhere in the middle where, like, the second I switched over to Japanese voices for Forspoken, I was enjoying the writing more because it's the reason that, you know, you can have someone who's so funny on Twitter and then they start saying those same jokes and you're like, what the fuck? Because, like, it your voice reading jokes is often better than the extremely difficult job of telling those jokes.
Right. Mm. And a lot of it is... Your personal, your, like, internal monologue, you're just the way that you read a joke out. Or read a joke.
Default voice, like, yeah, it can fill in a lot of those gaps for everybody.
Yeah.
I think it also just, like, isn't... Bits of it don't seem... I think it's a middle ground between like how bad I think the voice acting and stuff like that is reducing the impact of any cleverness, and how clever the stuff around it is maybe elevating the lack of cleverness in those bits.
Yeah, because you're
makes
right.
Sense.
Like tonally,
an effect.
Tonally, most of the time it is like pretty on par with, and like, so I loved BioShock Infinite. That is one that for many people, it was a clear, like, not measuring up to the original, but I loved it. And for me, this is playing like Soviet BioShock. It is the same sort of maybe obvious and like trite, you know, satire, but like, I'd rather see someone satirizing, you know, cultural hegemony and fascism, like, under the guise of progress. And like, I'd rather see that than just see a more generic sort of thing. And then, yeah, gameplay-wise, it's BioShock. I do love the level of creativity and innovation that they've put into the setting and the visuals and stuff. But gameplay-wise, it's exactly what you think it is if you called it BioShock.
It's that type of shooter where you've got like an interesting arsenal of unusual weapons and some powers, and like are having strangely like. I'm kind of enjoying the combat, and then once every time I'm fighting, there'll be something that happens where I'm like, this fucking sucks.
Yeah.
But most of the time, it's really fun. Does that make sense?
Sure, I've had that too. It's like, why am I stuck in a corner? Like, I'm moving away, you know? So there's a bit of that. And again, this is not, from what I can tell, a huge development team.
No.
This is like I believe this might be their first major release, Mundfish. Who were based in Russia or were founded in Russia and moved to Cyprus, and whose team is, from, they say their development team is made up of people from 10 different countries. I've been willing, as I have when I, like, I didn't play BioShock 1 when it came out. I played it years and years later, and there are a few technical or just, you know, things that were a bit dated. I kind of am willing to forgive it in something that really is so, you know, transportative with its style, with its aesthetic, and with the story it's telling. But yeah, the combat is very, like, you start with an axe, you swing the axe, it's pretty slow but it's very powerful. You get a few different guns, you're zapping doors to open them. It's good. It's creative. It's just not very, it's not groundbreaking, I guess.
No, and I am enjoying it most of the time though. Like, it there's enough going on with it, and you've got enough different weapons and enough different enemies and different situations you can be in that, like, they're all quite like a little bullet spongy sort of thing. It does feel like everything you're fighting it for just slightly too long.
Right.
But I am enjoying like the arsenal and the upgrades and the character upgrades and all that stuff is at this point, and we're both still relatively early on in the game. It's I think it's quite long.
I think it's 20 hours. Like
depending on, because there is some side stuff and there's some exploring you can do and all of that. Because that's the sort of format of it, is it's like not quite open world, but like sort of dungeon, separate levels that are joined by a kind of a hubby, overworldy sort of thing.
Yeah, and a small level of sort of Resident Evil 8 style. Well, you're in this area, you want to go to this part of the area. Oh, you've got to find this thing that unlocks that part. And while finding that, you get, you know, set off to the side by some enemy. And then you get it and you go back and now you're like, oh, here's a new area and another set of things I need to find to unlock. So, but it's like, visually I love it. I think it's so cool. I just love, like, the opening is so cinematic and interesting, and the scope and scale of what you are seeing on screen is like, why aren't more games like this, you know? Like, why are so many set in corridors when you could be setting them in these, at least moving through in-engine, you know, cinematics of such visually striking things? So I always appreciate that, even if there's, like, a frame rate jitter while it's happening, because I'm like, hey, at least it looks fucking awesome.
Yeah, most of those sort of like buggy things that you would expect of a game like of this scale made by a sort of smaller team, I found stuff with just like audio cutting off all the time and that sort of thing. Like little bugs that aren't really bothering me that much. But it does have that sort of feel of it, of something that is like, a little unpolished, but not in a terrible way. Because the ideas that are there and like the sort of, I guess, spirit that is there for the most part is engaging, and like I'm enjoying the combat more than I think if I went and played BioShock right now. It's taking that stuff and doing, or at least as much as, like, it's taking that stuff and doing, you know, pretty
a good enough job.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool, and it's one of those things where the fact that it's on Game Pass, it's just like, okay, cool. I don't even have to get the old neurons firing.
Yeah.
To be on autopilot.
What else was I going to say about it? Music is fantastic. I recommend, and it makes sense, if a game was written in, you know, Russian, or, you know, in that other case, for spoken Japanese, chuck on the Japanese voice acting, chuck on the Russian, and unless you just can't keep up with the speed of the subtitles, which I'm sure, you know, that may well be an issue for some people, that's okay.
Well, I think that's the thing with me, where it's like, it's all happening so much, and I want to look at things on the screen so much that I don't want to look at the subtitles.
I am finding myself stopping.
It does become a thing where you're just looking at the text instead of the actual game. Yeah,
I'm finding myself where I would usually, my natural flow would be to be continuing forwards through an area. I will stop and read subtitles. I'll stop and make sure I'm getting the context for what is happening. But again, like, there are other countries in the world that don't speak English, and if a game is originally made in a different language, then that's okay.
You know what? I'm all for it too. I'll allow it. Carry on. Very big of me.
Oh, and I think the other thing with the story is that it's impressive that it can. It's, to me at least, it appears to be both a sort of deconstruction of like the Soviet era and like that classic hyperinflation of what might have happened into this crazy sci-fi future. But it also is like a real corporate America satire, especially
totally. All the
tech industry, right? Like stuff.
Yes,
right?
Totally. Yeah. All the technology stuff. Like the thing that's gone wrong is they let technology into every facet of their lives,
right?
Very quickly in this, you know, alternate history that it's got here, and yeah, totally.
Dressing up the super like hyper surveillance state as like convenience is it's being explored in like a fun and interesting way. So give it a crack. Why not?
Especially if you fucked with the BioShock games.
Yes.
This is someone liking BioShock and trying to make their own game.
Yeah.
And doing a pretty good job of it.
Yeah. I'd love to, maybe, hopefully there's a few patches that iron out the bugs. And I'd like them to kind of maybe get a bit more funding and a larger distribution. I guess they're with Microsoft, but you know, a bit more stability around the development of whatever they do next. I'd be very curious to see.
Well, if you enjoy playing games with Japanese voice acting, as you mentioned before that you do, Ben, well, have I got the fucking game for you. Like
hey,
a Dragon
finally.
Ishin.
I've got the game for me as well.
I'm so glad they brought a game out in Japan.
Yeah.
I've been wanting that for so long.
It's been like
a Like a Dragon Ishin. This is the one. So I haven't played this yet. This is the one that was on the PS4.
PS3 and 4, yeah.
Yep. 3 and 4. And it was like the second of the olden days Japan games, but with Yakuza characters in there.
Yes.
Basically.
Yeah. So when did you you fired it up last night, Tommy? Why don't you lead us into this one?
I fired it up this morning. It wasn't weirdly, even though it came out yesterday, it wasn't unlocked on the PlayStation until, I don't know, late last night or something weird like that. I'm so early on in it, but having played through all of and loved Yakuza Like a Dragon, which I guess is now technically Like a Dragon 7.
Yes.
Really loved all of it. Just being back in the zone of how these guys make games is just, it's so good. And a frustrating one to have limited time to talk about for a bit before talking about it on here because, as with all these games, in the early hours, a lot of what you are doing is just watching a movie.
Yes.
With very little gameplay in it. But, it's, I kind of feel like, Yakuza Like a Dragon is kind of like a great entry point to the series going forward because it's sort of a clean slate. It's like there's like one character from all the other ones that pops up in it for a little bit, but by and large, it's like a kind of a soft reset. It's a different gameplay mechanic, and now they got this one and then a side story coming out later in the year that are back to the real-time kind of combat thing. So I get the impression that people that have been playing all of these games all the way through are maybe a little fatigued on it by now because there's so many of them, even though the stories, as far as I gather, continue to be compelling. But again, they are doing like a lot of the same stuff early on.
There was also the Judgment games. There was two of those so far, although I guess that's it, right? Because that actor was caught up in that contract issue, but there was
at this point,
Judgment and Lost Judgment. There's all these spin-offs, and in the interim between all of the original Yakuza's came out, they were remastered and re-released on a bunch of platforms. So, I guess there was Yakuza 0, the prequel, and Yakuza 6 came out within the past few years, and they were both great. I played those, but you're right. There's a fucking lot of these games.
Especially with because this is the first time this one's in the West and it's sort of a remaster make. But then there's another one of these that Scuttlebutt is that, or called Kenzan, that like possibly won't come out over here because some of the subject matter in that is maybe not what they would want to put out over here.
Yeah.
And then there are like a couple of PSP ones and all sorts of shit.
They certainly dally with a certain kind of Japanese humor. And also so some of the stuff that they treat seriously is, it's not always culturally appropriate, I guess.
I think that Kenzan one is more along those lines. I don't even want to say what it is the level of...
Yeah, yeah. But this...
he starts a podcast.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
This is a pretty classic, like, what's the era? It's like Tosa? Or something.
Tosa, yeah.
So like that's the current emperor. There's guns, like there's like, you know, flintlock pistols and shit. So it's not crazy long time ago. This is not ancient samurai era. You're introduced to a character who stands up for a poor lady and her baby, and it gets him embroiled in a whole bunch of shit. Cause he comes back from being away studying, isn't that? That's the like setup, isn't it, Tommy? He's like studying the blade.
He has literally been off studying the blade at the very
a
beginning of the
blade
game. See him.
Studier.
You'd love him, Nux.
Yeah.
He's one of you.
I've mastered the edge myself, but perhaps there's something I could learn when viewing it through another's eyes.
So yeah, he rocks back up, and yeah, early hours. You're watching a lot of setup movie stuff. You're learning your bits and pieces of combat that'll be familiar to anyone who's interacted with any of the previous Yakuza games, bar Like a Dragon. It's all your combos. You've got your different fighting styles that you can kind of switch between on the fly.
Which in previous games has been different kinds of fist fighting, but this, or like maybe one or two where you have a blunt instrument. This, you have a samurai sword. You have a little handgun as well. You can, and there's, mm-hmm. and you can do fist fighting, and then there's another one which is like a combo of both or some other thing. But yeah, within all of those, like, weapon types, there is also, yeah, combos and moves, and it's similar to a fighting game in that style. Or more, yeah, I guess it is literally a beat-em-up, but not one where you have to memorize shit. Like, if you just hit square, 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 triangle, baby, you're going to kill everyone. It's fine.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, I'm really, I can see myself getting hooked in on this already. Like, it just, yeah, I kind of forgot just how good these guys are at, yeah, just setting up a story and just getting you right in. It's so cinematic. It's so cool. They're like, all their, you know, cutscenes and story beats are just like directed so well.
Yeah.
It's well acted. And yeah, from what I understand, yeah, this is, yeah, it's like people, it's like characters from the mainline Yakuza games, like playing the, almost like how Miyamoto has always said that he thinks of Mario as just the Mario games as just Mario putting on a little play.
Yeah, yeah. So it's Baloo from the Jungle Book being like Little John in Robin Hood, basically. It is
that
fun level of like this guy, this archetypical character. But yeah, it's like heaps of the characters from the other games, basically, yeah, showing up as a cast of players.
Ancient version of themselves. Yeah.
How is it, because this is it a remake level, remaster level of, yeah, that game's coming up on 10 years old now, the original, like, how does it look?
It looks fucking great. It looks probably on par with Yakuza 7, like, lighting effects, you can see sweat glistening on skin pores, like, it is textually, it's great, the lighting is good, you can really see that sweat glistening on these ripped male bodies. But yeah, it's good, the like interface and all that stuff is fun. The little Photoshop filter effect that happens when you win a street brawl shits me, because it does look very tacky and dated, but everything else, like, graphically and control-wise, I'd say it meets, like, current standards, if not, or two.
Yeah, I agree. I think it, I kind of feel that way about, like, all the menu stuff, though. Like, it was the same in Like a Dragon, where I think they've just kept the exact same looking and sounding menu from, like, the very first one of these games. Because it's, like, it's very just, like, blocky, and anytime you select something, it's like, whoosh, it's that real sort of, like, old school scrolling through a menu.
Yes.
Like, it makes a sound when you're just like rifling down through options and stuff. So yeah, I think, and the same with like the text that kind of like pops up when you get in a little quest, but I kind of like that they've just like, they've stuck to their way of presenting them from all the way back when they started making these
games. You know what, not to loop back on ourselves, but that is something I forgot to say, speaking of menus, of like, fuck, I'm sick of the Destiny move your cursor with the left stick with a controller type of menu now. That's what Atomic Heart is doing. Forgot to mention that as just like a, not the end of the world, but just like, it makes it really annoying to use the menus, which you're doing relatively often.
I'll tell you what.
I agree.
When you're using mouse and keyboard, it's not an issue.
I'm sure it flies by.
It really does. I also, like, I started playing mouse and keyboard and switched to controller just so I could like lean back more, be more comfortable.
God, this cunt loves leaning back.
Honestly, I do. I think it might be good for my actual back.
You're not listening to a word Teach says.
It's a good way to be.
I already know it all, Teach. I know that know-it-all is a bad phrase, but I literally know all of it.
Oh, no. I think this good guy, he's going to tell him to shove it soon.
Eat my shorts. But no, I agree. Just in general, if it's like, it's probably games that are either developed for Windows first or just make a terrible decision, but stop doing it.
Just haven't bothered to. Yeah, I've been playing a bit of Hogwarts Legacy, and it's that you spend a lot of time in menus in that, and it's got that thing of moving a cursor around with the stick, and it is a fucking pain in the ass.
At least
so
life
annoying.
Is so hard in Hogwarts Legacy, because I noticed that as well. You can turn up the speed, but you can't do that in Atomic Heart. But yeah, we're both pretty early in like a Dragon Ishin, but like they have such a good track record. And if you even like the turn-based one that came out a couple of years ago, still give this a crack. I didn't think I was going to love going back to the beat-em-up style because I just prefer the turn-based JRPG. You know, like that is my preferred version of game. But it has more in common with Ghost of Tsushima than the older Yakuza games, because there's more, you can parry, you can dodge, you can, like, there is more in common with that sort of like pretending you're fighting on like a, you know, like a 2D plane almost, like you're looking backwards or forwards and you're trying to swivel around to anticipate enemies. And it is better. It's less arcadey and less lightweight than I was expecting it to feel.
Yeah. Other thing is, I assume this is a really good jumping in point if you've not honked the Like a Dragon / Yakuza series before. This seems as though it's unconnected to any of the others. So, like,
I kind of think Like a Dragon is the best jumping off point, honestly, because it's like, it's more full flip. But I mean, I think it's cool that they've, immediately followed. I agree with you, Ben. Like, I do kind of prefer the turn based, but I'm also glad to have a slightly different one in the mix to not kind of like burn myself out on that format before they do get around to the next like proper sequel. So
which is going to be turn based. I think like all of them from the main numbered ones are turn based. I think Like a Dragon Like a Dragon 7, Yakuza Like a Dragon, is the best jumping in point only because it's the best game in the series. But this
one isn't connected so hard, so solidly to any of the others that you couldn't just jump into this with no context.
Absolutely. And it is like, it's literally set before all of them and it is a similar enough game style. And the storytelling, like you say, Tommy, it is a specific thing they've got going. It is a Japanese samurai crime melodrama.
High drama.
They fucking nail it every time.
Very soapy.
Yes. Awesome. So go in on this you'll definitely like the other ones.
Yeah, a guy in the first like half hour drops an "I'm your father" on you. Awesome.
the guy, like, and again with like the sort of side stuff, like the guy you run across very early who spends about 3.5 minutes explaining that he likes to hide items in ceramic covered pots around town, and therefore if you look in any of these ceramic pots that are around town, you might find an item, instead of it just being like, hey, check these for items. it's such the character of this game.
Any game assumes that you've not only not played any game in this series before, but literally never played a video game in any way, and this is your first ever video game that you're engaging with.
And
we better explain that these chests have items in them.
There has to be a realistic in-world justification for why there are random healing items in them. This crazy man who likes to donate his extra shit to random people. That's the tone of these games. Like high drama, as you say, crossed with low humor, and it's always entertaining. So I can't wait for the mini games. I don't know what they're going to be, but they're going to be fucking crazy, I'm sure.
Yeah. I hear there's less of that kind of stuff in this, which is, it's been marked a little harshly by the big series fans for not having as much of the side shit as these games usually do. But also, man, I sunk hours and hours into Like a Dragon, so I'm not, I'm not fussed about.
Load our saves from that and play Candy Company manager.
Go-karting.
Go-karting. There are a couple in this. There's like Chicken Racing is the one that I've heard as sort of like the big meme one, but
you got a bit of karaoke in there, I think.
Sure. I'm sure there's some kind of race. There's some kind of not go-kart, I was immediately realized, but some little racing game. But
donkeys? They existed back then. You could get on a donkey.
I reckon there might have been a donkey or two. Yeah.
All right.
But sweet game. Tommy, do you want to talk a little bit about Hogwarts Legacy? Because you hadn't played it last week.
Yeah, I'll talk a bit about it. I was gonna write a review for us. Maybe I'll try and solicit that for next week. But my girlfriend is just loving it. hasn't interacted with any games outside of Animal Crossing. And yeah, you could, I mean, that's a very specific type of game and what it is. So we fired this up and she is just having the time of her life and was sort of mortified when I said to her, guess what? You love Grand Theft Auto because that's right. What this is.
Yes.
This is a big, this template is every game after Grand Theft Auto, mm-hmm. big map. You're talking to someone, they're telling you to go here, then you're doing it, rinse and repeat. This is Grand Theft Auto. but yeah, it is to speak to kind of what we were talking about last week, it really, if you're deep into the world of Harry Potter, it is, yeah, we got some broomstick riding stuff the other day and she was just giddy with excitement over that. Is constantly demanding that we play more of it.
Mm-hmm.
Is mad if I'm out because she's not really too across the combat stuff.
Right.
So yeah, it's kind of getting up. But it's been fun. It's been fun to actually have a game that is the combat's great in it. The combat reminds me a lot of Spider-Man. You're using your spells to whip people up into the air and then just beat them up while they're suspended in midair and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, it's just fun to have a game to, you know, sit down and that my girlfriend is actually, yeah, engaging with, and we're kind of like pushing through the story and just, yeah, kind of teaching her all that stuff of like, okay, so these icons on the map mean they're side stuff you don't have to do to progress the story, but you'll get kind of bits and bobs if you do, and then this stuff is these gold ones. It's like that's kind of progressing things forward, and got to teach her about the day one update patch when we played the first 20 minutes of the intro and then the game stopped and went, yeah, we gotta install this update file that's going to take 50 minutes to download. And she was like, why is this happening? And I was like, this just happens in every game. And she's like, why do you tolerate this? And I'm like, it's a good question.
I mean, I feel the same way about cooking, so I understand that. I know it needs to happen, but this is insane that a capsicum needs to get this hot.
I was like, yeah, so we just have to turn this off now and we just do something else and we just wait for it to be ready. And she's like, but you bought it. Like, you've got it from the store on a dip. Like, why can't we play it now? I don't want to wait. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. It's crazy, just like, the leap she's taken from no video games, a little bit of Animal Crossing, to full-on, like, physical media is dying and digital marketplaces are the worst plague.
Yeah.
I think she fired off a few death threats in that 50 minutes that we were waiting. So, yeah, she truly is a gamer. But, it's a very polished product. Other than, you're right, Ben, I wish the facial animations and the lip syncing does kind of let it down a tad.
I'd mentioned this last week a bit more as well. The map is kind of crazy because the open world stuff, which I got a lot more of in the past week since the last week's episode, I've realized it's much more expensive than I thought. Apologies to all of the listeners who sent me death threats over that.
Apologizing to your death threaters. It works.
Yeah, back down.
Keep them coming.
I back down. No, they all politely and jokingly teased me in our one of our groups. The map of Hogwarts itself is pretty fucked because there's so many physical levels that you can be on, and it's broken up into these small little districts or like sections of the castle, which when you even zoom in all the way and you try and like cursor over, say, the one that you need to click on to get that area's fast travel points, it'll snap to a quest that's right nearby or some other icon on the map. So it's a little annoying and fiddly, and you probably should have been able to zoom in a bit further when you're at the Hogwarts level of the map, which the map is separated into three sections already. I think you just needed a bit more, you know, fine detail on the map, but
on being able to navigate you, because you're basically just doing that for your fast travel and your quests. But luckily, I mean, you can just go to the quests menu and select stuff from there.
Yeah, and, to track them. Yes.
And I mean, honestly, we're finding it's like such a nice kind of world to walk around in that we haven't really been doing all that much fast travel stuff. Just like, occasionally little bits and bobs here and there. But yeah, I'm really impressed with it as a game. I think it's I think they've done it. It's also funny, like, explaining to my girlfriend just like what a crazy time it is to be in, where like something like this coming out that is based on a property that people like and it's actually good. Not only is it like good, but it's taken like an extra creative step of going like, well, what if it's not just like some of the plot stuff from the video game,
right,
that
we've
sort of, you know,
from the movie.
Hey,
yeah.
Well, probably it's more interesting to set it in a different time period and you be a different person and all this kind of stuff. It's like just saying to her, like, this kind of stuff just never used to happen. Like, it was just a given that if something came out based on a film or whatever that you liked, it would just suck. It would be a cash grab. No care would have gone into it. So, yeah, even just this existing is like a crazy thing. And it, as it turns out, yeah, a lot of the stuff that's in Harry Potter, boy, it translates into some video gamey-ass video game stuff.
Well, Tommy, like, much like you having to tell your girlfriend that she likes Grand Theft Auto, I'm sorry to break it to you, but you love Assassin's Creed. Yeah. You're a huge Assassin's Creed fan, honestly.
Yeah, yeah. I guess I am.
Take that, bitch.
Well, yeah.
Okay. I guess that's us. Is that us?
I think so,
that's
yeah.
It's going to do us for this
I played
week.
A bit of Octopath Traveler 2 demo and didn't like it, but I didn't like the first game, so it's not really anything to write home about. But yeah, a few big games.
I'm going to write my parents. I'm going to let them know.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to write mine, I guess.
I did like the first, and I tried a bit of the demo too, and it left me a little bit cold. So, yeah, I don't know if I've got it in me to
didn't
do
love
100
the,
hour.
Didn't love the writing. Just felt a bit dumb.
Yeah.
Felt a bit...
Yeah.
Yeah, just a first draft kind of thing. But, yeah, that'll do us, boys. We've done all the video
that's
games.
That's it for this week.
Yep.
Filthycasuals.com.au. We've got the links to the Patreon over there if you want to support the show. And in doing so, you can get a bonus episode every week where we talk about movies and TV show and pop culture. We've also got Clicker I Barely Know Her, our podcast about The Last of Us TV show. Thank you to everyone that's watching that show and listening along with us and corresponding with us. We're really enjoying getting all your feedback. We got the YouTube channel, got all the videos up on there, hundreds and hundreds of them of us playing all sorts of different stuff.
10 Dates
we
is the one that we're sort of doing
dates
at the moment. Yeah,
yes. We're about to do... the second half, the other 5 dates, I guess, of the 10.
Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Tickets to the live show, comedyrepublic.com.au. Come check us out in Melbourne. Thanks for listening. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
Like a dragon, these nuts over your face.
Oh, I meant to say Bioshock, Bioshock Infinite.
Oh, yeah. I'm editing this one, so... Bioshock Infinite.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.